broadcast today. We're talking to naughty people. Nick Fuentes here with us for the next hour and 38 minutes. And then the top Russian broadcaster, Putin's buddy, joins us. How dare us actually hear what the Russians have to say? We're going to be evil Americans and exercise our free speech here in the balance of the broadcast until 3 p.m. Central today. And then Owen Schroyer is back to host the War Room. Oh, sorry, he's in federal prison for being peacefully on the Capitol grounds on January 6th and trying to stop people going into the building. There's not tyranny in America. So Nick Fuentes is here, AmericaFirstFoundation.org, on Rumble at Nick J. Fuentes, and he joins us here. Nick, I appreciate you coming on short notice.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I will shake hands with the baby Hitlers. I had some fun with that.
Yeah, no, that was good. That was funny. I said on Twitter, though, I think it got me banned. I said, I'm really more like young Hitler or Hitler Jr.
Which is a joke, too. All right. I've been talking quite a bit about you in the last hour and 20 minutes. Probably 20 minutes of the last hour and a half was you. So till we go to break in like 5 minutes, you've got the floor. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. Well, I did watch your show today and I watched your show yesterday. And on Saturday, I saw you call me out. And I said about you that you believe in these conspiracy theories about 9/11, about mass shootings, but you said that Israel did not blow up that hospital on Friday, but it was the Palestinians. And I said that that's interesting because, I mean, to me, directionally, we know that Israel does this sort of thing all the time. They blow up hospitals, schools, mosques. And so, and he's going somewhere else here, but so I think it's, okay, just, I'm like, where's this guy going? And so to me, I say, well, it's far more obvious that Israel attacked the hospital, not the Palestinians. And I think it's coming out from the mainstream media. They don't want that Israel attacked that hospital because it's pissing off and incensing all the Muslims in the region, which puts Israel in a bad situation. So, you know, for me, I'm thinking that the big problem going on is that Israel should not be permitted to level Gaza. And it's not just because of the Palestinian human rights. It's also because it's against America's interest. And I've seen on your show, you focus on the refugee issue that the Palestinians are pouring in and Muslims are coming into the United States or Europe. But in every case where there's massive amounts of refugees coming in, it's because Israel is up to their usual tricks doing these wars in Iraq, Syria, Libya, and now in Palestine. And, you know, just to put it simply and shortly, I'm America first like you. I actually think we agree on a lot. I'm not necessarily pro-Muslim or pro-Israel. I'm pro-America. I identify the two American interests in this conflict as one, no refugees, not a single one. And two, we can't go to war with Iran and be dragged into a larger global conflict. Now, if you believe that those two things are vital American interests, you have to support that Israel be restrained in their approach in Gaza. Because the more intense Israel's ground war is in Palestine, the more refugees there's going to be. And the more intense their operation in Palestine, the higher the risk of a intervention by Hezbollah. And then therefore that the conflict escalates and widens and includes Iran, which would then necessarily include the United States. So I think the America First position is actually to support Palestinian statehood and consequently to fall on the side of the Palestinians in this one. And I think that's where we disagree.
I think granting them statehood, Israel's not going to let that happen. And so that's going to start World War III. But up until that point, I agree with about 95% of what you said.
Yeah. And I think we agree for the most part.
Okay. But you just said in the clip we had, I'm not going to, we'll keep going. It's your time.
Sure. So the thing that I've noticed about conservatives is this. This is my perspective. And I just want to clarify, I don't think you're dishonest. I don't think I've accused you of lying or anything like that. I've said on my show, we have a disagreement. I think we have a fundamental disagreement. But what I've noticed is that a lot of conservatives, there's really like two acceptable positions right now. And one acceptable position is that you're pro-Israel. And you see these guys like Shapiro and Levin and Prager and the usual suspects. And they all want us to go and give Israel all our money and send our aircraft carriers. And we have to support the moral case for Israel. And then on the other side, the other acceptable position is you can be anti-Palestinian, where you maybe don't talk so much about Israel or the Zionist influence, and instead you say, well, the problem here is these domestic protests with Muslims and that Hamas is like BLM and that Hamas doesn't actually hate Israel. They just hate white people like the left. And to me, I look at these two acceptable positions and they're sort of the same. It's like heads I win, tails you lose. You can either be pro-Israel or anti-Palestine, but you can't be in this position where you say I'm pro-America. And actually that means that I'm actually a little more anti-Israel in this case than I am anti-Muslim. And so that's where I'm coming from. I want to be the guy that says, you know, I'm actually more offended by the Zionist infiltration of America. Doesn't mean I support mass Muslim migration, but that's to me the bigger urgency. Muslims haven't taken over America. Zionists have. So that's where I'm coming from. And I just think maybe we disagree on that.
All right. Nick Fuentes, AmericaFirstFoundation.org on Rumble. Nick J. Fuentes. We'll come back. I'll respond for a few minutes to what you just said. We continue on with our topics. And then hopefully we weren't able to do this with Yay. We can get some, towards the end, some other topics. Because, see, I just don't just focus on Israel. I'm not saying you do that, but some people do, and I'm really sick of it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm worried about technocracy. I'm worried about the New World Order globalist WEF stated plan to make humans obsolete. You've all known Harari. The future is not human. And they're rolling their plan out. They mean business. And I get the debates and the different perspectives of people that are worried about the Israeli lobby and see what Israel's doing and get sick of it. I understand that perspective. Then I see Israel, though, is a very diverse country, just like Justin Trudeau only gets 23% of the vote. Netanyahu's getting like 30-something. So there's a fight there. It's like America. I mean, here's a perfect example. We've got leftist groups in Chicago, New York, Miami, going to kosher grocery stores and just screaming and yelling and saying shame on any Jew or other people coming in and out of there, workers. Whereas I actually know the numbers, I'd have to say 50% of Jews, at least in America, are actually pro-Palestinian. And you've seen like ADL workers out pulling down signs of the Jewish people that have been held hostage. And you see the Washington Post saying they're not hostages, they've been detained. So what I'm saying is there's a larger calculus here where the globalists in the UN are bringing in all these Muslims. They're organizing them to be socialist, communist, and to join the leftist parties, where it's, whether it's the Democratic Party here or the Labor Party in the UK. And I see their power really rising and them joining with the left. Now, I've seen a few good spots like Dearborn where they said, you know, we're right-wing, we're pro-America, we're not going to put up the LGBT flag. We're going to put up the American flag. And I see them saying, hey, Muslims protesting, saying we're not going to have, you know, drag queen pedophile time at our schools. So I don't hate Muslims either. I just see them as billions of people that main religion says we're going to take you over. And then I see them allied with the left. And boy, I see that combination. I'm like, woo! So I didn't get a call, as you guys like to say, and like, you have two acceptable things. Be pro-Israel to the hilt and say murder all of the Palestinians, or you can just bash the Palestinians. I'm saying, like AOC saying, she's going to bring them here. I'm like, no, you're not. So that's not me taking the... hold on. What am I supposed to say now, Netanyahu? Yes, sir. I mean, that is my legit... I'm against open borders, period. I'm on record, Nick. So there, I just took like a minute and a half. You can now respond.
Yeah, I just think that the, you know, this dialectic that you're talking about, it's true that there's factionalism in Israel. It's true that there's factionalism in Jewry, but they are all on the same team fundamentally. And we know this because ADL,
which I'm in the center of the camera. When I get up, it's not, you're not bad. Just
okay.
Go ahead.
So the ADL, which you mentioned, they've had some of their employees tearing down these posters, but then the ADL fired them. Jonathan Greenblatt went on MSNBC. And he demanded that they fire some of their pro-Palestinian commentators, which MSNBC then did. Now, a couple months ago, there was a big dispute between some of these right-wing Zionist Jews and the ADL. And people like myself and Keith Woods said the ADL is a problem because it's a Jewish group that's clearly controlling speech on social media. You know, Greenblatt goes and brags and says he's got a line in with YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and he tells them what to ban and what not to ban. We said, so we should get rid of the ADL. Then all these Zionist Jews come in and say, well, the problem isn't the ADL. They said the ADL has a noble mission, which is to fight anti-Semitism. They said the problem with the ADL is that they attack people that are pro-Zionist. And so in other words, the right-wing Jews, they don't really have a problem that a Jewish group controls speech. They have a problem that there's friendly fire sometimes. Because now, fast forward a month later, and all the Zionist critics of the ADL and the ADL are on the same side supporting Israel. And Shapiro, who was criticizing the ADL like the ZOA did a year ago, he's now retweeting the ADL. And the ADL's on MSNBC saying, you got to fire all your pro-Palestine commentators. And so I'm a guy that's looking at this dialectic where you're either part of a Zionist right or you're part of this Jewish left. And I'm in the middle saying that I'm an America First Christian, and I don't want to be influenced by Zionists or by atheist liberal Jews at the ADL. And that's why I say there's this false dialectic that's being given, which you say you're not participating in. But again, there's a lot of people they want to focus on. And I watch your show. You focus on the Muslim immigration and you say, well, they're sending them to America, but there's Muslim refugees being created by Israel's wars.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. And the head of the ADL promotes open borders. So let's shift gears. Just because some of these groups have agendas doesn't mean when I have an agenda of not having open borders and bringing in new Democrat voters that are brainwashed against the country, that's my perspective. And it isn't through the lens that you're saying. So let's explain bad because you're Jewish. So when I said the head of the ADL is the closest thing to Hitler I've seen, not that people go, oh, you're saying he's a Nazi. How ridiculous. No, I'm saying China is very race-based. So I said Xi Jinping and his policies are pretty close to Hitler. And then when the ADL is out teaching that Christians and Catholics are inherently bad and that to first graders, teaching them that they're bad because of their color is incredible child abuse, but they're also on the left trying to teach kids they're another gender to cut their genitals off and sterilize them. So, and you're bad kids because the earth's dying, and they show them videos of polar bears that can't swim, which isn't true, and say they're all dying, even though their numbers are up five times. It's humans are bad, humans are ugly, you're all guilty, white people are the worst of all the groups, and, you know, all this crap. And then I'm literally, when they have, you know, ADL galas, brother, they ain't talking about you. They're calling for my arrest, and they're behind the law firms trying to, like, $20 million this year they spent trying to shut us down. It's in the federal filings. Okay, so let me tell you, the proof's of the puddings, okay? They are literally bashing and attacking, and their main target is me and Trump. And Trump's, like, pro-peace the Middle East. He's got Jewish grandkids. He doesn't hate Jews, but he's not going with whatever this larger globalist agenda is. So I'm saying what's going on in Israel is the 10,000-foot view. But when you pull up even higher, I'm against war against Russia, and I believe the West started war with Russia. Well, Russia's pro-Palestinian. So you see, oh, now I'm supporting the Russians that are pro-Palestinian. Now I'm pro-Palestinian. No, I'm anti-nuclear war. So I have a very, quite frankly, sophisticated understanding of dialectics, and maybe it's over people's heads. I'm not trying to be arrogant. And so, you know, tell me how I communicate this properly to people. I'm sure as hell not getting a call, and I'm not part of the group that's controlled. I literally see Jews as diverse people. I see all these groups as diverse people, and I'm really trying to get people to say, hey, let's get bugs off the menu. Let's not cut the coal power plants off. Let's not tell kids they're inherently evil because of what color they are. I'm opposing the globalist agenda, whoever's behind it.
That's just it, though. I mean, the thing is about Jews is that what defines them is they reject Jesus Christ. Whether they're liberal atheists or they're religious Jews, they don't believe in Jesus. And the only reason, for what it's worth, that I said that you got the call in sort of a glib way is because after Ye and I appeared on your show, you went on Steve Crowder 2 days later and said that me and Kanye were gay for Hitler. And you went on this rant about how much you hate Hitler and said that, you know, we fetishize Hitler and all this sort of stuff. And it just seemed to me it came across like damage control. Now, maybe that
was... I love Hitler. I mean, maybe you don't fetishize him, but yeah, I mean, was drooling over him.
Well, I think that he likes the controversy. And at the same time, there's a lot of people that are fascinated with Hitler. Michael Jackson was fascinated with Hitler. John Kennedy was fascinated.
I mean, evil can be fascinating. Here's the deal. When I said to him, hey, my dad's dad was in Italy and in Germany during and after the war, and it shook him to his core. He'd never talk about it. But then later we read letters he'd written, and after he died, and I mean, literally, we're talking piles of dead bodies as far as you can see, disease, war, mass murder. And I said, hey, my grandfather's, he was like, your grandfathers don't know anything. So it's like a skin in the game. I reject the ADL saying America's Hitler, and if Christians don't do what we say, you're Hitler. Screw the ADL, screw that guilt, screw the white guilt, go to hell, fuck you, ADL. But at the same time, I've actually done a study. This is one of the latest books. I didn't bring this in because you're here. Hitler Speaks, a series of political conversations with Adolf Hitler on his real aims. Nick, how many books you written or read by Hitler or about Hitler?
I haven't read books. I'm not a Hitler fetishist.
I've read about, well, so here I am saying I'm a Hitler fetishist. No, I wanted to understand who Hitler was. I've read probably 200 books on Hitler. And I've read what the Germans that were, why do you think the German high command tried to kill him in 1943 and 44?
Tell me.
Because he was out of control and going to kill everybody, and he ended up killing 22 million Germans and 28 million Russians.
But is that why Hitler is canceled today, for that reason? Or because
Hitler was a messianic maniac that thought he was God. He was anti-Christian.
I think, though, that people don't like him today because he was anti-Jewish. I mean, because if you're saying that the...
No, he saw them as the main competing group, and he thought they were in control, and he wanted to be numero uno. But just... So, I mean, what do you think the world would be like under Hitler's view today? Most of us would be dead. I mean, I'd be here, but you know...
But I'm not arguing for Hitler. I think what both Ye and I were expressing is that there is this Jewish control matrix, which puts Hitler in a special category. He wasn't the only dictator. He wasn't the only one who had concentration camps in the war.
No, it's true. I mean, Andrew Jackson's sister and brother died in a British concentration camp.
Yeah, and Eisenhower ran concentration camps against the Germans, and we interned the Japanese, and on and on.
That's right. Eisenhower committed a real crime. He probably starved 4 million Germans to death.
Yeah, and you know, because you're an expert, you understand this. But Hitler's in a special category because the Holocaust narrative is what casts a shadow over the entire American political landscape. And, you know, we have to talk about Jewish power right and left. You can say F the ADL, but would you say F the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America, with Mort Klein?
You know, I get Jews thinking they deserve it. Israel's tiny. And I know a lot of Jews that are really nice, smart people. And they're not going anywhere. They have nuclear weapons. And so I'd like to see the wars end. I'd like to see it not be a football issue. And so I'm a realist, too. Israel's not going anywhere. And the Arab countries won't take the people out of the West Bank or Gaza because they want to keep the thing going. So, yeah, I mean, it's true. I don't have a hard-on for the Jews. I don't have a hard-on for the average Jew that sees as patriotic and their people and their thing for their club. It's like Crips and Bloods, but I'm not in either gang.
Well, I mean, you said earlier that ADL talks about you at their galas. They also said that I shouldn't be permitted to be back on Twitter. They said both of us in a list, you, me, Tate, Trump, Bannon, and David Duke. But the thing is, both the ADL and the ZOA called for me to be banned. Both the ADL, which represents the left-wing American Jewry, and the ZOA, which represents the right-wing Israeli Jewry, they both said Nick Fuentes should be banned on YouTube. And, you know, you're tight with Bannon. Bannon's tight with the ZOA. And
well, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I didn't follow what Bannon said about you. You saying Bannon called for your banning?
Bannon tried to get Gosar to disavow me. Bannon's like a huge enemy of mine.
To disavow you is his view. Did he call for your censorship?
I don't know if he ever said it explicitly, no, but he's been...
Okay, well, let me tell you what I'm against. They tried to pass the law in Texas. They did in Florida. I had to read the law. I didn't believe it when I saw you and others attacking it as they were passing it last year or this year, whatever it was. When did they pass it? Last 6-8 months or so?
Yeah.
I mean, it literally is the end of the First Amendment.
Yeah.
So I'm criticizing the left coming after our speech in the ADL. This is it served up on a platter where they're going to arrest you for your speech. They're going to fire professors. No. But the same left as professors to say we don't have speech. They'd probably stop me coming to speak there. But, I mean, this is terrible. This is dangerous. I agree with you.
Yeah, well...
That's why you're here on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you should be heard from.
And
I mean, you compared to some leftist that says all white people need to be gotten rid of and we're the devil, and then all the weird leftist Jews that agree with it, now the left sees them as white. I mean, that's wrong. So, you know, I mean, I would say, you know, all this anti-white stuff, the liberal Jews saying whites are bad and everybody else saying it, they are baby Hitlers.
Yeah, well, and I know what you mean by that, and here's the thing. I think you're an honest guy. I've always said that. I think you're an honest guy, and you do have a sophisticated worldview for 20, 30 years. You've been putting that out, and that's why I've always been a fan of yours. I think where we disagree is that you see some benefit to allying with these Zionist Jews, and I'm against both the right and the left wings of Jewry in the world. I think that they're both toxic.
Well, let's be clear. I've been smart enough when the ADL attacks me and these groups do to not then blame all Jews. They get, you know, the ADL is getting record contributions right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Yeah. They go out and stir up stuff and put bad agendas with Jews' name on it to get attacked to get more money. So I'm not allied, quote, with whatever group you're saying.
Zionists. I think you, well, because when you say that they're after, when you say the World Economic Forum's after Netanyahu and Israel's diverse, and it's true, Soros and the ADL are against Netanyahu. I don't think that makes Netanyahu good. I don't think that makes the Zionists good.
Okay, well, let's just be clear. That's what we're getting at. Israel's a 10,000-foot view. You were on the show, or you responded to it. Can you quote it? Because I remember you said, Alex needs to focus on Zionism and this and that, not on Bilderberg and things that don't matter. Brother, they're calling the shots. I mean, they are the king daddies. They got the big swinging dick. So, I mean, you don't know that? I'm not trying
I think that's where the disagreement lies, because you put the blame at the feet of Klaus Schwab and Bilderberg as an institution and the
BlackRock, which should feed into your thing. He's Jewish, Larry Fink.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, that's the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, and Larry Fink is Jewish, and Larry Fink has responded to this.
Yeah, but I mean, Klaus Schwab's the grandson and son of the number three Hitler's dude. I mean, I'm telling you, the top man, it's not Jew anything. It's dehumanization. I mean, you listen to Yuval Noah Harari literally saying humanity's over, we're scum, we're nothing. It sounds, Hitler was saying kill most groups, which was bad. Harari says we're all done. I mean, that's like Hitler 10.0.
Yeah. Well, and I think the transhumanist thing is fashionable, but when you talk about Bilderberg, one of the members of the steering committee is Jewish. One out of the two of the co-chairs of the steering committee is
Jewish. And go through that. I'll give you the floor and I'm going to shut up. But I'll give you the rest of the segment. We got 8 minutes. But respond to me. You said, oh, why is he focusing on stuff that doesn't matter? And after the exact quote, isn't powerful. Let me tell you, the WEF and the Bilderberg Group, I mean, they are calling these shots. Okay. And they don't like Netanyahu for whatever reason. I think because, like Trump, he's trying to set his own thing up. Go ahead. I'll shut up.
Yeah, So our disagreement back then is, I said that you tend to focus.
By the way, I got an earpiece in my ear.
Okay.
I'm going to get a fresh cup of coffee. I'm listening to every word. I'm not disrespecting leaving here.
All right, yeah, that's cool.
You're hosting right now.
Yeah.
Hey, baby Hitler hosts the show. There's your headline.
The host, yeah.
I resign, Nick. You're the new host. How would you like that?
The Nazi takeover of, no, of course not. No, I'm America first. But, well, he can hear me in the earpiece. But the difference of opinion is where the true seat of power actually is. And the Bilderberg Group and the World Economic Forum, these are institutions which host multinational companies and representatives from governments. So Bilderberg does not, in my opinion, have any real power. The power is the people that attend Bilderberg. The World Economic Forum doesn't have power. The power lies in the people that attend the World Economic Forum. You know, what is the World Economic Forum? It's a meeting of 3,000 multinational corporation leaders and government officials. The power rests in those people, and like Alex said, the technocrats, the planners. Now, when you look at the demographics of who those people are, the top hedge fund managers, the people that are running the major companies, and Larry Fink of BlackRock, there's a large Jewish representation. There's a huge overlap between the people that attend Bilderberg, and by the way, the people that donate to Benjamin Netanyahu's prime minister campaign in Israel. And I think that the transhumanist sort of thing, when people talk about the Carnegie Endowment and the State Department civil society stuff, I think that that's basically a deflection from the fact that the character of all these people, I mean, their early life section, they all happen to be Jewish. And the real evil in the world, as we know, is the antithesis of God. It's the devil. So who's the antithesis of God and the devil? It's the Antichrist. And you look around the world at who are the people that are on the side of good. You know, if in a spiritual dimension, it's God versus the devil, and it's Christ versus the Antichrist, when we bring it down to the level of what's happening in the world, it's the Christians representing God. It's the Christians representing Jesus. And who's on the other side representing the devil? Who's on the other side representing the rejection of Christ? Well, if you look in Israel, it's the people banning the gospel. This Likud Netanyahu government. Yeah, the World Economic Forum, maybe some of their members are critical. But Netanyahu's government proposed a law that would ban the preaching of the gospel in the Holy Land. In Netanyahu's government, they have these radical, extreme religious Jews that spit on Christians, Christians make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and these so-called right-wing Jews that support Israel and are religious, they spit on the Christians. They desecrate the churches there. And so I just don't see anything redeeming about that. And a lot of right-wingers say that Netanyahu is supposed to be part of the global populist uprising, the nationalist resistance. The truth is that he can never be a part of it. The right wing of organized Jewry in the world can never be a part of that because they're not Christian. They reject Jesus. And so it's like I said on the earlier show, when I look at the two poles of morality, my pole is not Hitler versus anti-Hitler. It's Christ versus Antichrist. It's not Jews being the anti-Hitler versus Hitler being against the Jews. It's Christians being in favor of Jesus and Jews being against. So I guess that's the difference of opinion. I don't think you're a shill. I don't think that you're out there taking marching orders, but I think maybe that's the fundamental disagreement, is where does the power truly lie? Is it this collection of esoteric groups pursuing a Gnostic plan for transhumanism, or is it Christians and Jews going back 2,000 years to the Pharisees?
I guess a lot of it is, growing up, my dad has all sorts of friends and cool people, and he went to college, and a couple of his buddies and one of his roommates, one of his name's Jim Levy, is a geologist, and we haven't done it since I was, probably 16 years old, but we used to go out in the desert with telescopes, look at the stars. He used to, me and my dad would go on hunting trips with him. We would also go look at, geology fields and find fossils. And he was just a loving, funny, sweet guy. And my dad's Jewish friends, and he had friends of all different kinds of groups, were just really nice people. And so I guess, you could almost call him kind of rabbinical. You had a big beard, and a Levi obviously means priest class, and all that. And I people get mad when we say Judeo-Christian. I mean, really, it is the Abrahamic religions, and the Jews have made a lot of contributions to things. So I just don't have. I just love humanity so much, Nick, that I see the bad in people. And I see the horrible little Nosferatu creature that's the head of the ADL that behind the scenes has debanked us and run the war against us. And I refuse to give him what he wants to attack the Jews so he can then suck all their money up and control them. I mean, it's a very simple play he's doing, him and Abe Foxman and the rest of these guys. And they're just a Jewish mafia. And just like the Italian mafia, quote, helps the neighborhood, but really sucks off of them. I want to see us all transcend this together. And that's what I'm getting at, because when I covered a story about Tyson Foods is going to put bug protein in their products now, I don't look, well, how do I make this about Jews? That's the biggest meat packer in the country. I'm like, most of what I'm doing is not obsessed with Israel. I do want to go to Israel someday. I've never been there. I want to go to Egypt. It's, every time I'm about to go, it's not safe. I want to go to Russia. It's so fascinating. I'll be accused of being a Russian agent. I got a visa once and made a joke about it. They went, oh, look, he's going to Russia. He's a Russian agent. I'm not a Russian agent. I'm not a Zionist agent. I'm not any of this. I look at China. They're 1.5 billion people, and nothing is Chinese people on average, but they are the most homogenous race-based group, genetically similar, and they're extremely racist, on average. Every time I talk about China taking over Hollywood and China involved and everything, I see the comments, oh, he's coming up from the Jews. I mean, if I slip on a banana peel today, it's not Jews.
Okay, but a lot of things are Jews. Wouldn't you say that? Or do you disagree? When you look at the Iraq war, when you look at mass migration and the ADL and censorship, and when you look at the porn industry and
you don't think part of it was weapons sales and oil deals? I mean, it's just all the Jews.
I think it was primarily for Iraq. It was primarily the Israelis and the neocons. Absolutely. They wrote it up in the Clean Break paper in 96.
No, that was, you're right. That was Wesley Clark exposed that.
That's
because he was trained by the CIA and they had all their people in there so they could set him up. He was just a weak country to take down.
I think that they opposed him because he was actually a strong country and he sent missiles against Israel. And actually, the Israelis weren't even, the neocons in America were more in favor of it than the Israelis, because the Israelis partially recognized, like the Saudis in America, that if we took out Saddam, Iran would fill the power vacuum. Now they want to take out Iran.
Well, Saddam did want an Arab uprising against Israel, which would have led to a nuclear war. See, that's the problem. Is Iran has nuclear weapons. That's confirmed. They don't admit that they do. So does Israel. They got a bunch of them. So everybody keeps wanting to drive Israel, into the sea. Well, that's nuclear conflagration. That's the Samson option.
Well, and I don't support that. But
well, that's why the Saudi Arabians keep trying to do a deal, because they like golf courses and hotels and jet aircraft and Ferraris, like everybody. It's normal. I mean, I want to see good in the Muslims, and I see Saudi Arabia's had a lot of problems, but their reforms have been substantive.
I agree.
Okay, well, then, I mean...
We have to use our leverage to make Israel make a deal. But the tail wags the dog. That's a problem.
Well, let's come back and talk about Russia. Well, just minutes ago, Representative Mike Johnson wins GOP nomination for Speaker. Mike Johnson won the GOP nomination for House Speaker today, defeating Representative Byron Donakis, and becoming the fourth Speaker designated selection by his party. Representative Kevin McCarthy, historical removal as Speaker, and the second in a single day. I did some quick searches during the break. We were airing that Owen Schroyer update. And it looks like Jim Jordan likes him. I like Jim Jordan, but I've got to drill into this, so I've got to withhold my view until we know more. So get the brains here in the office looking into that to give me their perspective during the next break. Nick Fuentes is here, and I'm always accused of having diarrhea of the mouth, which is actually true. I'm a talk show host. So a lot was said last hour. You're with us for the rest of the hour. I believe you're going to be on the War Room today.
That's right, yeah.
Great. So 3 p.m. Central. But you got the floor. I mean, I'm going to really try to just shut up and let you say whatever you want.
All right. Well, like we were talking about before, I think that the number one issue, and we talked about this on the American Journal, I think the number one issue that we have right now is that America has to become a Christian nation. And as a Christian nation, needs to have Christian leadership. And, you know, you say that you have your father, grandfather, are friends with Jewish people, and they seem like nice people. I'm not out here saying that Jewish people aren't capable of being nice or good people or anything like that, but they don't worship Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us there's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to the true, the good, and the beautiful, and that's through Jesus. When I look around at whether it's the ADL or the ZOA, when it's the left wing or the Zionists, neither of them respect or worship Jesus. And as a consequence, they can't be right. What's more, their allegiance is to their own tribe rather than America. You know, not only am I a Christian, but I'm also America first. So when I look at this conflict, and I wonder what your take on this is, because I've seen this, and this has made me more angry than anything. And
well, don't invite me to interrupt, or it's going to happen.
No. Well, because I really am interested in your take on this, because maybe this is a source of common ground. I'm with you. When I see the Muslims protesting, it makes me mad, because I'm thinking, what are they doing here? They belong over there, not over here. When they do the call to prayer, they're waving their flags. I'm thinking, those people belong in Syria, Palestine, and Iraq. But what makes me even angrier is when I see Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin, and I'm not inviting you to attack them necessarily, but I'm just wondering what you think about this. These people, they don't seem to care about America. The country's being invaded by immigrants, like you point out. The censorship's out of control. Forced vaccinations are occurring. And they had the vaccination at Fox. They had a vaccine-mandated Fox News at Daily Wire. They had an agreement with Google not to discuss it on YouTube. Now, they were never that mad, though, or emotional about it. Israel gets attacked 2 weeks ago, and I've never seen Shapiro angrier than he has been these past 2 weeks. I've never seen the kind of Herculean effort. It's like an alarm went off with Levin and Shapiro, and they go on Fox and they threaten this country. They say if America doesn't give Israel everything it needs, Israel's going to nuke everybody. And it's like this nuclear blackmail. And it's like, hang on a second.
I don't think it's like that. I think that's just what it is.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering your thoughts on that, because to me, that's like rogue state behavior. And it's like a fifth column in the United States, and they have that influence.
This is why I have trouble answering really important questions like this, because there's so much data. Where do you start? So let's just start here. I agree Ben Shapiro supported the shots, supported the censorship. Levin... and didn't say much about the border. Levin did. He was against the border stuff. So I think those are two different people. And I like Levin a lot more than I like Ben Shapiro. I mean, Ben Shapiro was like, yeah, censor Jones, he deserves it. You know, take all the shots, shut up and take it. It works great. So, I think if you're looking at who's bad, and I'm not in competition with him. Here's the thing, he's another talk show host, he's successful. He's got billions of dollars behind him. I'm not bashing him because he's a successful talk show host. I'm bashing him because once things become popular and he's lost, now he's against the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like Ben Shapiro. Let's just get that straight. I don't think Levin is, I think Levin likes America. I watch his show a lot. He's a smart guy, actually. And from his perspective, I'm not going to blame anybody for being loyal to, you know, what they stand for. But if you just pull back from this, again, I think the whole Israel-Palestinian thing becomes a distraction from war in Ukraine and dollar devaluation and fentanyl and pedophilia and social credit scores and UN treaties for forced injections and the WEF. In all fairness, maybe you're right, maybe I'm wrong. I just think what I'm covering is the most important stuff. And so it's a perspective thing. And I don't think there's any sacred cows. You know, when the ADL literally certifies the curriculum in colleges down to the first grade, telling children they're bad because they're Christian or white or Catholic, and the government says Catholics, conservative Catholics, are number one threat, I say, Katie, bar the door. You can't criticize Nick Fuentes for what he says that's race-based or whatever when you're 10 times more extreme. So I'm saying that. All I want to be recognized as, I'm really trying to have an honest, open debate about this.
Well, yeah, and I think everybody recognizes that, and that is what made you such a target, is because you have this phenomenal reach and you have this impressive studio and you have a real following, real loyalty to you. And I think they recognize very early on.
They hate the viewers because the power they have.
Exactly.
This is about cutting them off.
Well, yeah, because you are able to reach them and you're able to give them an independent source of information. And that's, it's really a power struggle because you, with such a media influence, become powerful. You, because of your listeners and because the trust that they have in you and because you're able to provide them with real information, they recognize you as an independent base of power in the country. And that threatens their monopoly on information and on the creation of opinion.
Well, that's right. The final equation, it's all about how many people can you mobilize?
Yeah.
It's very cool. But so then let's bring in communist China. You've got Governor Newsom over there saying we're going to have nothing but electric cars, which are almost all from China. I'm not against Chinese people. That's the dominant force. And whenever I attack China, I see the attacks. Oh, God, covering up for Israel. They're the main power. No. China and Israel, by the way, is giving a lot of our technology.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I see that as if Israel's a 100-pound gorilla, the 1,000-pound gorilla is China.
It's true. China is a true geopolitical adversary. Honestly, though, I maybe we disagree a little on this. I actually support China's rise. I support the Chinese-Russia coalition because I look at the American state, which has targeted people like you and me, and I think that the more that the American state recedes, the better that is for us.
Yeah, but just because the people running us are bad doesn't mean in the vacuum we want the Chi-Coms. You get that, right? Like I'm not against the Russian people because China is expansionary. Putin cut weapons funding, pull back. We're going to do organic farming and promote our families and have Russians. That is a beautiful message. I support Vladimir Putin in that. We need to have children. We're Christian. Organic farming. Russia's just trying to defend itself. China was set up by the globalists. It's like cancer. It's expansionary. So just because Russia's run to China to save itself, there was a big Russian-Sino split. The globalists always tried to make that split. Now they've caused that convergence. This gets into very sophisticated Rand Corporation projections, Nick.
I think that the State Department and the Defense Department are very mobilized against China. I think they want a war with China. That's why.
Yeah, because they didn't keep following orders. And so you're right. It's kind of nice there's a split, but it's like Hitler and Stalin had a deal till Operation Barbarossa in 42, 43, and then they butted heads. So I'm saying, yeah, there's been a globalist alliance with China that's broken. But just because it's broken, just because I don't like the New World Order, the globalist, doesn't mean I like Xi Jinping.
I do like Xi Jinping, though. I like, because
so you like 3 million Muslims in slave camps?
I don't believe that's true. I think that's propaganda. It's seriously. I mean,
I tore my Achilles 9 years ago, and it's almost completely gone. So my right leg's a crutch now. I can still, you know, run, but not well. And I went to 6 different doctors in Houston, Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And they all said, oh, don't worry, we got tissue grown in China. And when I asked to see the paperwork, they went, two of the places, yeah, it's a cadaver. China's selling body parts, brother. My leg ain't fixed because I waited too long. I got to have a cadaver part, and I morally cannot be part of killing some Falun Gong person to get that. Because I just can't have that in my life.
I just think that when people talk about the Uyghur concentration camps, I just feel like that's State Department propaganda, like atrocity propaganda, to get us to view China as evil rather than a geopolitical competitor. You know,
what I think you're doing, Nick, and I'm not trying to interrupt you. I'll try to shut up and stick a sock in my mouth for 5 minutes because I don't want to be accused of not giving you time. This is a great discussion, a great debate. China's own government admits that Mao Zedong killed at least 65 million of their own people. So during the Cultural Revolution, Great Leap Forward, they forced people to move off their farms and killed 60-plus million people. So, I mean, David Rockefeller endorsed Mao Zedong when he died in a New York Times op-ed. Are you really sure? I mean, because are you sure China's good?
I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying that I don't think it's, when we call them evil, this is what states do. Because the United States would never be whipped up into a frenzy to go to war with Russia, China, Iran, if they thought that they were just adversaries, if they thought that they were just competitors or rivals. So that's why in every case, they need to say Putin is kidnapping orphans and he bombed a maternity ward and the Palestinians decapitated a million babies.
No, I get it. They use that foreign threat to set up tyranny here. I totally agree.
And well, and I think they do the same thing with the Uyghurs. I think that, you know, for example, they talk about the social credit system in China. We have the same thing in America. We have a social credit system in America. It's hardly any different. In fact, it's worse because at least in China, the social credit system rewards good citizenship. In America, it punishes good citizenship. So I feel like with a lot of...
Okay, well, let me just be clear. And Nick, maybe you might be smarter than I am, but I was really dumb when I was your age. I'm impressed by how smart you are at your age. So it's not a put down. You just learn along. I've studied Russia, and other than being a strong arm and having problems, I find out of the whole world, the best public push for families and children and Christianity, because I see that. And I'm not a Russophile. I'm not a Russophobe. I just call it like I see it. When I see China with the human animal clones and all of it, man, I see the nastiest thing I've ever seen. I'll just be, I mean, brother, I do some studying. I love it. It's what I read, what the Communist Party Central Committee puts out. And I'm telling you, China is bad. They're bad. The Communist Chinese are bad.
Well, and I'm not trying to denigrate you, or I think you're more intelligent than me. I think you're the genius mastermind behind InfoWars. And it's nothing like that. I'm skeptical, and here's why. I think that the United States has become a very evil country, too. I think that...
I agree.
And I think...
Well, just because we're evil doesn't mean another evil's okay.
But the difference is...
I'm going to shut up. We're going to break in. I'm going to shut up for 10 minutes. I'm shutting up right now. I may have to get up and walk off and drink a cup of coffee. Just go ahead.
So I think that the difference is the jurisdiction in China... They would support American dissidents where America doesn't. You and I are dissidents in the United States. That means that we support American sovereignty. And in a sense, we're sort of in like a knife fight with the powers that be, because if we win, they lose. It's a zero-sum game. If we and the Americans become sovereign, that means that the globalists are no longer sovereign. So we are total enemies. China is an adversary of the United States regime. And so necessarily, China doesn't hate American dissidents as much as the American government does. Like, I think about Snowden. When Snowden betrayed the NSA, where did he seek refuge? He sought refuge in Russia. And Russia was the only place that he could be safe.
Yeah, China wouldn't give it to him. That's what I'm saying.
Well, but Russia was the only
place. I only see virtue out of Russia. And I'm not, they're the best house in a bad neighborhood. And I'm not a Russophile. I just have, I'm sorry, I'm shutting up. I'm stopping. Nick, go ahead.
No, you're good.
No, I'm shutting up now. Shut up, Jones. Go ahead. I'm shutting up now.
But so, in other words, the bigger that Russia and China are, to me, that's like the bigger the safe haven for people like you and I when they start trying to kill us. Because if the government tries to kill you and I, we can't go to South America. The CIA can get us there. If we go to the Middle East or anywhere else, they could get us there, too. The only places where we'd be safe are the countries that are actually able to defend themselves from the United States. And so when I see Russia and China allied in the BRICS coalition to build an alternative system, to me, that's a system that I can participate in whereas I can't participate in the American-led system. So I agree with you. I think that China does a lot of bad stuff. I don't think they're necessarily a good nation. You know, they're just like Israel, they're not Christian, and they have prohibitions on the spread of Christianity. But I do think that they're better than what we have going on in the United States. I think on some fundamental level, it's almost like amorality being better than immorality. The United States is led by, you know, and I don't want to keep going back to it, but it's what it is. It's the ZOA on one side. It's the ADL on the other. On the one hand, it's these atheist, nihilist types, and they're totally against any kind of religion. They're totally against any conception of God and definitely against Christianity. On the other side, it's these religious foreign nationals that are trying to ban the gospel in the Holy Land. And even China recognizes that's who's really pulling the strings in Western society. They talk about it all the time. For them, it's just a geopolitical reality that when they confront the West, that's who they're dealing with. That's where the seat of power is. And so on the one hand, you have China that has really no morality. They've substituted Confucian tradition, and they've substituted their Eastern philosophy. On our side, we have people that actively put Jesus up on the cross. And I sort of alluded to it earlier, but when you talk about like the creation of the state of Israel and you talk about World War I and you look at the role of types like Louis Brandeis, who is the chief justice on the Supreme Court, and some say it was his personal intervention that convinced Woodrow Wilson to bring us to war in World War I, Louis Brandeis is part of a group called the Parashim, which is named after the Pharisees. And we all know what the Pharisees are responsible for. So when I see a battle between Confucian China, which is built on tradition, authority, respect for elders, deference, that sort of thing, and I see America, which has now become just total anarchy, satanic godlessness, it doesn't mean I'm necessarily pro-China, but I'll take China over what we have going on now. I said on my show, I wish China would invade us. They would probably take black crime seriously. They take the border seriously. They wouldn't be going to war for Israel in the Middle East. So I, in some sense, I feel like maybe that would be an improvement over what we have now, at least if they're a check on our power.
All right, I'll jump in here briefly. This is one of the big things that the anti-Israel lobby does that is dishonest. There are six major Hollywood production outfits. They've been bankrupt forever. And I said, decades ago, so I was reading a Wall Street Journal article, and I talked to people I knew in Hollywood, and they said, yeah, Saudi Arabia is the second largest group, but China's buying up everything. Now that's all admitted. So the joke was, Jones says China and Saudi Arabia own Hollywood. I was just reading headlines they were doing it. Now China controls four of the six outlets, and it's admitted that they fund this anti-America race war narrative to destabilize us. So it's true China puts gays in prison, and it's true that they do all that, and they're promoting three families or three children, nuclear families now. You know, Xi Jinping broke with the West wanting them to not have nuclear families because China's not under globalist control now. So it's kind of got its own version of its takeover. So I think China is in command of itself. That's why it's under attack by the globalists. So you're absolutely right. But China is still funding the left and the poisoning of America, just like Islam is working with the left in America. So I'm just saying that we should spend our time some on China and some on Islam, because, you know, you're saying Judaism and Jewry, as you call it, is this monolithic pillar. I don't even see that.
Well, I said that there's factionalism there, but ultimately they are on the same team. And I gave you an example. The ADL crossed over and they said that MSNBC has to fire all their pro-Palestine guys. And by the way, I agree with you. The Saudis are influential. The Emiratis, the Qataris are influential. They've got a lot of money and they lobby our politicians.
Yeah, they're buying up golf and everything else.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And same thing with China. I think that we should prohibit China from buying land in America.
I do too.
Because then, and buying companies.
I agree with DeSantis on that. What do you make of DeSantis and this legislation that literally outlaws criticizing Israel?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with him hanging out with Miriam Adelson before he announced his campaign. I think that he runs Florida, and there's a heavy Jewish presence in South Florida. You know, it's New York, L.A., and South Florida.
Yeah, but I mean, you think the average American Jew really wants to ban free speech? I mean, because this is crazy. This is crazy.
I agree. I don't think the average Jew wants to ban BDS, but I think that's the work of a very powerful Israel lobby. You know, because he signed that bill. Not this one, but he signed a similar one in Israel. He takes all his first foreign trip as a congressman, he took to Israel. His first foreign trip as governor, he took to Israel. Before he announced his candidacy, he went on a three-country trip, and the first one was Israel, where he met Miriam Adelson and a couple of other big Zionist donors. And this is where you get them signing these laws. And this is, by the way, where the ZOA criticism of the ADL comes from, because they say the ADL is promoting people like Ilhan Omar and BLM, which in turn support Hamas. So they don't criticize ADL for being anti-white. They criticize ADL for basically being implicitly pro-Palestine.
Why would the ADL openly fund the curriculum that whites are inherently evil? That is so racist. That is, it's Hitler behavior.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, they hate whites. They absolutely hate whites. And they talk about they want America to be a white minority country. They want America to lose.
What is the point of that if the majority of white people are pro-Israel?
Well, I think that the point of that is that this is a quote from Bret Stephens. Bret Stephens used to write at Jerusalem Post. Now he's at New York Times. He's like a big neocon hawk. He wrote this book, America in Retreat. And it's actually interesting. It predicted a lot of what's happening now. But he's in favor of all these wars. And Bret Stephens, he did a debate with Rabbi Shmuley 4 or 5 years ago about Trump. And the question is Trump good for the Jewish people? And I always love this quote because I think it summed it up nicely. He said that he's against Trump because Trump is hostile to the liberal international principles that have been so good to Jews. And when you really interrogate and think about it, and you know, Hitler talked about the same thing, it's that when you look at a truly open society, a truly liberal international open society, that tends to be where the Jewish diaspora feels the most comfortable. You know, because a lot of these liberal Jewish people, they don't want to move to Israel. They like living in Europe and America. But they also, like Sarah Silverman, when they see an American flag go up, it reminds them of Hitler. And maybe you've seen that clip. She says, my boyfriend put an American flag up in the front lawn and it made me think of Hitler. And so they have this sort of histrionic fear of nationalism or of white solidarity because they recognize that in any kind of country that's Christian nationalist or, God forbid, if there's a white nation, well, they're going to stick out like a sore thumb and be the aliens. So it sort of behooves them for a country to be as diverse and sort of Star Wars cantina as possible because...
But isn't people that support that fighting the last war? They're like fighting the Dark Age. I mean, the West supports Israel, but I mean, the left does want to get rid of the West, and now they're reaping the rewards of that. They're being destroyed by their own actions.
Yeah, and that's true. And I think that, but by the same token, when that happens, they're able to flex and defend themselves. Like, you know, in England and France, they start deporting people immediately, which is amazing because the Muslim rape gangs have been there forever. They've been causing all kinds of problems. People have talked out about it and gotten censored for it. When they start supporting Hamas, deport it instantly, revoke their visas, explore every option. So, you know, we just come.
All right, we're interviewing baby Hitler. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Yov is joining us, top Russian broadcaster, next hour. You don't want to miss that. Uncensored, unfiltered information, what they don't want you to have. You deserve to hear all points of views and make your own decision. The jury's out on Mike Johnson. You know, he called for Pelosi's arrest. He says he's against the Ukraine war, but he also voted for it. I'm not ready to pass judgment on the new speaker. We're going to have to do some major research on that before we do. You're a pretty informed person, Nick Fuentes. What do you think?
Well, I don't know much about Mike Johnson. He was pretty far down the list. You know, they went through Scalise and Jordan and Emmer and Donalds. And so this is really, I think this is what, their fourth or fifth guy. And I don't know that much about him. But I will say that generally speaking, this is probably one of the biggest wins from congressional Republicans in a long time.
They're exercising their power.
Yeah, exactly. I think what Matt Gaetz did was brilliant because Republicans are allergic to fighting. They like to say that, well, if we tried to shut down the government with the debt ceiling or with the continuing resolution, well, we just lose because we don't have the Senate. We don't have the White House. And they say, well, you know, we have to have all these rhinos in these competitive districts and you have to vote for them because who's it going to be, a Democrat? And so Republicans, they don't even want to engage in the battle. It seems like we win election after election. We win the House, Senate, White House. Regardless of the combination, we never get what we want, whether we have all three or we have one or we have two of the chambers of the House or the White House. It never seems to make a difference. We always see the Democrats are able to control the political agenda. So with Matt Gaetz this time, I think it's the first time maybe since Eric Cantor lost his primary that the actual base of the GOP won a real victory by getting McCarthy out. because the Republican base delivered. They gave the GOP a majority. The establishment came in and said, well, you have to deal with McCarthy. Nobody wanted him, but they shoved him down our throats. They said, this is the only guy that can have it. And thankfully, Matt Gaetz stood tall and said, well, maybe McCarthy's the only viable guy, but we'll have to have some conditions. We want a contract. We want an enforcement mechanism. And thankfully, ultimately, when McCarthy failed on the debt limit, when he failed to deliver the tapes from January 6th, when he failed on the continuing resolution by allying with the Democrats, we had the ability to kick him out. And even though I don't think there's really a great option to replace him, it sent a message to the establishment that the base isn't just going to accept whatever the establishment shoves down their throat. And so, and you're right, we had actual real people power from the MAGA caucus. And really, he's the only one that's leading. I've been very disappointed with Green and Gosar and many others who I've been friendly with in the past. Seems like Gaetz is the only one that really even wants to fight over there. So,
well, I think it's very important to note, for people that just tuned in, we're being honest. I don't know Representative Mike Johnson. I knew who he was, but I'm not going to give you an opinion until I know. And you know, on MSNBC and CNN or ABC, they're going to tell you, I'm going to have to do a deep dive on this guy.
Yeah, same. I don't know that much about him. But I've seen some good things, some bad things. I'm very skeptical, though. I'm skeptical because...
Well, yeah, how do you get the votes? I mean, Jim Jordan looks pretty good. I don't know how they...
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, is that these McCarthy guys...
Maybe they got something on him.
Yeah, potentially.
People ask, why are Republicans wimps, pussies? Well, they indict you for a crooked toenail if you go against them.
Yeah, that's right.
Believe me, I've been experiencing responding to the federal grand juries myself. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, everyone that's been a fighter like Cawthorn, they just dumped their oppo file on him and they made him lose his primary, dropped a bunch of embarrassing dirt, and they punished him because he made some offhand remark about D.C. sex parties and pedophilia and stuff like that. Same thing with Gaetz. Gaetz has been a firebrand, and he's been taking the fight to Washington.
Well, he made it through the attacks.
Well, exactly, because they came at him with the DOJ investigation. So you're exactly right. Anybody that stands up and says something... And it comes from their own party. It comes from the Republicans.
Well, it's like Jim Jordan. While he was a coach, some other coach might have done something. Or Matt Gaetz 5 years ago might have been on a private jet with a 17-year-old. Again, it's so obvious what they're doing.
Totally. It's the whole city is run basically on blackmail. And that's how they keep everybody in line. Everybody rather go along with the agenda from the establishment because they know that the alternative is they get the dirt dropped on them. They get law enforcement, litigation, lose the election, whatever it is.
Well, Nick, let's talk about you. People wonder where you came from. You're a young guy. How old are you? What got you politically engaged?
I'm 25. I've been involved in politics since I was like 12. I started reading Thomas Sowell and Milton Friedman. That's how I got started. And I just devoured everything, all the libertarian literature, all the Austrian school stuff, Chicago school stuff. I was a
fan. Like the Von Mises Institute?
Oh, yeah, Mises, absolutely. I read Mises. I read On Credit and Money, which is one of the seminal Austrian school books. And then the Trump revolution happened, and it totally shook my worldview because Trump came in and made me think about our nation as opposed to the market.
And he's a, quote, pro-Israel guy, but being attacked by the Israel lobby. So how do you juxtapose that? How do you center that up in your view?
Well, because if you remember, Trump came in very hot about the Iraq war. Trump opposed the Iraq war in 2003, and in 2015 and 2016, Trump was really on Jeb Bush's case because he said, you need to say the Iraq war was a mistake. And he said something I'll never forget at South Carolina. He said the World Trade Center came down. That's not keeping us safe. They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There weren't any, and they knew there weren't any.
Well, that's right. And he also said you should be in jail to Hillary. He also, on 9/11 the day after, called into the radio and TV shows, and so we played it many times, and said bombs blew it up.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's not an architect, but he's developer.
He's funded a lot of architects, yeah.
Right, and so he knows that the structure of the
tower. He said, I've talked to my architects.
Yeah, and anybody will say, any engineer will say the way that building was.
Well, the Japanese top designer that designed it for a jumbo jets to hit it.
Right.
Multiple.
Exactly, because of the frame and the interior core. And so I think that when Trump came out there and said all that stuff, that's why all these neocons became never Trumpers, because he said, and Tucker said this recently.
Skip the break.
He said the cardinal sin that Trump made is that he went against the wars, because that's the thing that...
That's right. That's why they don't like him. So let me ask you this, because one of your biggest criticisms is people sit back, and maybe it's tongue-in-cheek, I'm sure it is. You say, I don't get the exact quote, there's nothing more gay than being obsessed with women, or whatever the quote is. It's something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I think it would be really good for your PR, plus it's a lot of fun. Why don't you get married and have some babies? People would, I think you're the best advice I can give you, Nick, is get a girlfriend, get married. Man, you'd be even, plus it's a lot of fun to have kids and be married. Well, where are you on, what was the quote about it's gay to be into women?
I said the gayest thing. What did I say? I said the straightest thing is to be an asexual incel. But I said that in the context here. You know, you're a guy, you know, you're an entertainer. You say, you ham it up a little bit.
It's a joke.
Things. Yeah. Partially. But the point is this. There's a lot of guys. One of my favorite rants you ever did, you said that young men today don't care about Magellan or Columbus. They care about Justin Bieber. They care about silly stuff. And I think one of the big problems...
No, you're right. Is, women just for women is a distraction.
Exactly. Yeah. The simping that goes on. These guys, they're basically like male feminists. And their whole obsession is sex, women, girlfriend, that sort of thing. And even the whole arrangement these days, you know... You have these guys, they'll date a woman for 10 years and not get married. They'll date a woman, they'll cohabitate, then they don't get, then they get married, and then they get divorced, and it's just a lot of silly stuff.
Let me give you a little advice. When the baby's born, you're going to love it, and something's going to flip in your head, but when it's sitting on your knee at 6 months, man, you're a whole nother man. Hmm. Everybody should have children.
Yeah.
It is magic. You ever want to have children?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm going to have kids in my life, but you know, right now.
But I figured that clip was out of context because I've seen other stuff you said.
Yeah.
But that's what they did.
Yeah.
Like I was on Bannon, you know, and I was like, we don't want to go in. It's a trap. We shouldn't do it. But if you're going to do it, here's how you do it. Oh, he wants to carpet bomb Gaza. I didn't say that. It was a statement within that debate.
Right. Well, and I sort of like when they take it out of context because I'm so censored. It's almost like you need the outrage. You need the provocation for people even to talk about it. And, you know, people then tune into my show. They watch the whole thing and they go, actually, I think I kind of agree, you know, because I'd like to get married and everything. I have pretty conventional views on that. But I think that.
You got a girlfriend?
No, not right now.
Well, you're a good looking guy, man. It's easy.
Thanks.
What kind of girl, in your mind, have you, like the vision of a woman or behavior is the most important thing, but who she is, but what were you like, brunettes, you like blondes, you like redheads?
I like an Italian girl. I'd like a brunette Italian girl with light eyes, but it's very important to me. I'm really looking at it. I'm looking at it from a genetic point of view. I'm going a little Hitler here.
We gotta look at the parents.
Exactly. I want to know that I want my kids to have hair, you know, so I want her parents to have good hair. I want her to be smart. No offense. I want to have.
But I'm joking. A lot of times, having hair is not a denominator of smarts.
True. Well, yeah, and I agree with
so
that.
So you want to marry like spy chiefs and rocket scientists, like my family?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Kind of combine both sides, like yeah.
That's right. Yeah. You and me coming together produce the ultimate.
Oh, we're gonna get married now.
Yeah, you and me are gonna get married. Yeah, could you imagine?
Nick, you're a handsome guy, but I'm not into dude. Sorry.
Or Uncle Hitler coming together. No, but
Daddy and Baby Hitler.
That's right. Yeah, so probably an Italian person. The problem
are you?
Is,
what's your genetic background?
I'm half Italian, quarter Irish, quarter Mexican.
Wow.
So I'm an ethnic. I'm an American ethnic.
Tell us about all your background family. What are the different folks?
Well, I'm fifth generation, so they all came here roughly 100 or so years ago.
And you got the hybrid vigor going on.
Yeah, exactly. I got like the Indian chieftain thing. Like, you know, Charles Johnson says that's why I'm a maniac, because of the Mexican side. They called my great-grandfather Injun Joe because he was a fighter and he looked like an Indian, looked like a, you know, tribal Indian. But I really identify with the Italian side because they were more like eccentric and really into politics and stuff like that. They actually worked. I talked on the previous show, we talked about Italians running the sewers in Chicago. One of my Italian ancestors worked in the sewer. And my great-grandfather, who was a shoemaker, came up and said, hey, get up. We don't work in the sewer. And then that guy who worked in the sewer became a multimillionaire, had a jet and farm and all this kind of stuff. So I really identify with
that. What about the Irish?
The Irish real...
Get your grudges from them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, grudges against, you know, Bannon and the rest. They're a real troublesome bunch. the Irish are all Democrats, are all union Democrat types, Chicago, you know, city machine politics types.
Well, Bannon's not, though.
Right. No, I'm talking about my grandma on that Irish side. They don't watch my show. So, but I love the
Irish. What's your family think of what you're doing?
I mean, they don't agree with everything I say, but they support what I'm doing. You know, my parents, they're real boomers. They're like, go and do whatever makes you happy, man.
Well, I'll say this. When the universities and the public schools and the elementary schools are teaching white people are bad, I say the left and CNN and ADL, all bets are off. You can't point at this guy with race-based politics when he's a 2 and you're a 10 and then say he's the devil. You just, I mean, that's where I'm at. I've tried to sell Americana. I've really tried to get everybody on the same page. I've done the best job I can. I believe in everybody. But my 6.5-year-old daughter is homeschooled, but we put her in a lot of exercise camps. She's like a little Arnold Schwarzenegger. And she came home a few weeks ago and told me she was at this camp where they, during the break at lunch, they aired over the air speakers. She really doesn't make stuff up. This is adult stuff. She's super smart. Veronica. And she told me, they told me white people are bad. Am I bad? And it's over, folks. Done. Pass the Rubicon. You want it. You got it now. You mess with my 6-year-old. It's over. So you wanted it. You finally got what you wanted. Because I'm not going to have you teach my daughter she's bad and she's white. Fuck you. Fuck you for that, you pieces of fucking leftist shit. So that's where I'm at. Gloves are off now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. They mess with people's kids, and there's a different side coming out now. And it's happening to you. It's happening to all
we tried to protect her from them, but you see where it came out. They have lawyers teaching them how to teach critical race theory at swim team or volleyball. It's the damn cult doesn't want to just cut your son's dick off. They literally want to brainwash your children. So, okay, gloves are off.
Yeah, and yeah, everybody's on the same page on that. It's a total war, you know. And when you said you're shaving the head, you're going Lex Luthor, and when we did that during Stop the Steal, I felt that because it's like, this is the battle for humanity. And I'm with you. The anti-white stuff, the anti-human, anti-Christian, that's what the transgender stuff is anti-human.
It sterilizes our kids.
Yeah, chemical, physical castration, and they destroy them even before that.
I learned that, and she told me this adult stuff that she, like, they had them at lunch playing over loudspeakers, it flipped a switch. It was like, okay, you can't go past that.
Yeah, it focuses the mind when they attack your family. You know, that's when you realize what's really at stake here. It's not abstract, it's not conceptual. They're a war with
trying to brainwash children.
Mm-hmm. And your children.
I read the news. They're covertly everywhere. They keep files on kids in the public schools and hide it from the parents. I mean, it's like, whoa, you're going to teach my beautiful daughter she's bad because she's white? But fuck you. I mean, that's all I can say is burn in hell, man. Fine, you want to make it, you got it. You got what you wanted.
Yeah. Well, and that's the important thing is
because they started it. They drew first blood.
They did. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we wanted to be left alone. We're patriots. We want to go and do our thing and, you know, work hard. And
well, let's be clear. It's not the average Hispanic or black person that's doing this.
No.
It's the establishment, whoever that is.
100%.
You declared war on my children. Okay. You attacked my daughter. Game over. You want it. You got it. So this is the change. It's here. Get used to it, folks.
Absolutely. Well, and Hispanics and blacks, I think, are with us. I think a lot of them see it, too.
Would they like their child being told they're bad because they're black?
No, absolutely.
What the hell? I mean, that is like some little beautiful black child who just loves the universe, loves everybody. My daughter loves everybody. She's like, Daddy, am I bad because I'm white? I was like, excuse me? She said, well, they just said we're bad and we take advantage and we're bad. She's really smart. I mean, like, all my kids are all smart, but like, she's like super smart, super articulate. And I was like hearing like what they did. And I was like, they literally raped my daughter's mind. But it's outrageous.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
The left raped my daughter's brain, and now I'm going to crush you. But God, what scum. Who could teach a 5-year-old, oh, you're not a boy, you're a girl, and then secretly keep files and keep it from the parents, and then set them up, and now major hospitals, look at this, hospital network tells parents they'll no longer be able to view managing children's prescriptions. Your 7-year-old goes in to get a checkup, and they go, you're really a girl, and they put you in a database. They're literally stealing our children. And a little girl's at a sports camp, and they go to lunch, and over the loudspeaker, white people are bad. Are you white? You hurt people. And they're like, I'm white. Wow, that is rape. Psychic psychological, oh, humans are bad for the earth. Oh, you're not really the sex you are. The abuse, they're literally abusing our children as with psychologists writing it. How can we hurt children? How can we screw them up? How can we destroy their innocence? 3 minutes left, Nick. Well, we'll do 5 more minutes before this big, huge Russian guest joins us. We'll do 5 more minutes, but you got the floor. Go ahead, baby
Hitler. I'm
with
you. That's the thing. I think whatever our disagreements, we all have to come together and oppose a globalist.
Well, we beat Hitler. Now we're facing things far worse.
100%. Well, because they're motivated by the devil. I mean, it's nothing short of Satanism. And it's coming
from teaching 6-year-old girls their bag is her white? That's not evil?
It is. That's what I'm saying. That's devil. That's straight up from the devil. It is from Satan.
Yeah, they crossed the line. You can lie about me, but not my kids, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they're doing that to this entire country. It's our entire progeny are being sent to war, genitals chopped off, sold into debt slavery. It's because the people that lead the country, they don't love God and they hate this country. They're not loyal to this country. They're not loyal to us.
They're not loyal to the human species.
No, no. They worship death. And I think they commune with demons. That's the only thing that explains
it. Oh, it's Skull and Bones. They do weeks of chanting to become possessed.
Yeah. It's
2 minutes to break, Nick. Keep going.
It's no, and I'm with you. I think that anybody that's against children like that, that's the real enemy. And we see who it is, you know, and it's people that are killing kids here, people killing kids everywhere else. It's Christians that believe in God, that believe in the integrity of the human design, men and women, sanctity of marriage, against everybody else, regardless of what they are. And that's why, in some sense, I see a little kinship even with the Muslims. Because like you said, like in Dearborn, they're protesting this stuff too. I'm not in favor of, I'm not Muslim.
No, but I mean, I think the lesser of two evils is the Muslims compared to Hollywood.
Exactly. Yeah, because even the Muslims would say, don't touch our kids. Don't cut our kids' genitals off. Even they understand.
Well, they don't just understand, they'll stand up.
Right. They go out there and fight.
Well, I said maybe if Christianity won't stand up, maybe Islam is. I mean, you know what I mean? If right. Christianity doesn't show up, I mean, maybe it's Islam.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't make me a Muslim. Doesn't mean I love that whole situation, but Christians won't fight, but they need to. And Andrew Tate, you know, I've seen his appearances on this show, and he's obviously a Muslim, and he says it. He says, you know, the Christians won't stand up. And sadly, as a Christian, I have
to. So he wants to be with the fighters.
Right. That's why he joined Islam. And I get it. Sneeko did the same thing. He's a friend of mine, and he said, I have to go with the Muslims because they're the ones standing up to all this stuff. Now, I think that the solution, because Christianity is true, is that we just need the Christians to stand up. But Christians are afraid of losing their jobs or getting canceled or stuff like that. We need people to get bold.
Well, they're not really Christians.
No. That's cowardice.
This has been an incredible debate. You're a bad baby Hitler.
You're bad. Yeah, no.
Let's get a yay update when we come back, and then we got to go to break. And then, guys, here like Alex Jones was why they censored Alex Jones promo, where we get the huge Russian guest on. This is a massive fourth hour. Little baby Hitler's our guest. Stay with us. All right, we just got the first news in Owen Schroyer that at 2 p.m. Central went into federal prison yesterday. I'm not trying to stir stuff up. We don't know the details yet. But they put Owen in solitary confinement. So during the two-minute break, I learned that little giblet of news. So Owen has been put in solitary confinement. We'll find out the details of that. Pray for him, folks, and hope he makes it out of there because these people are going for broke. Closing comments in the 4 minutes we have left, Nick Fuentes. I think this has been a good discussion, an open discussion. Free speech is king. The system doesn't want this. I think it's been a very important discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate you having me here and having the discussion. I think you're a real patriot, you know, and I know maybe there was a little bit of hostility before, but I think we squashed it.
I'm just not getting calls from Netanyahu.
Yeah, and I'll stop getting calls from Arafat and Hitler. But but I think we had a great discussion. I think that, like you said, this is nuanced, sophisticated stuff. I think you're a brilliant guy, and I think you bring a perspective. I bring a perspective. The thing we agree on is we're both in favor of humanity. We're both in
favor
of
God. And we need to stop apologizing for being white. We're not in the KKK. We love everybody, but we're not going to roll over.
Right. Right. Yeah, we're not going to roll over and let them rape our kids, rape their minds, cut off their genitals. We're here to fight. We're here to fight for God. We're here to fight for
America. I mean, it's so bad. My homeschooled daughter got hit.
Yeah.
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's well, and that's just it. It's affecting everybody. You know, even the people that are involved, like you and I, we may think we're insulated.
She can't go to a sports camp. I mean, these people as a can you imagine parents that don't know are not trying to protect them? How bad it is?
Oh, yeah. That's where you get all these trans types. That's where you get all these radicals because they get touched and raped by the teachers. And like you say, these are the people that the parents don't even know what's going on. You're on top of it. So you're right. We're not going to roll over, but we've had a good discussion. And my being here and your willingness to have me, I think, is proof that this is the free speech platform. That's why they hate you, because they can't control
And you're on the War Room today, 3 p.m. Central. Owen can't be on because he's in solitary confinement right now. You're going to be on with Harrison Smith today.
Yes. Yeah, I'll be on later. Love Harrison Smith.
Well, I'm just going to say this in closing. Everybody deserves as an adult to hear what you want. You tune into Hollywood, it's pure evil. They have their free speech. But we need to let listeners remember, you don't get to hear Nick Fuentes or Alex Jones without support, and you'll get to hear it without promoting it. So everybody has a right to hear it. Everybody should realize your job is to boost the signal of what the system doesn't want. So how do people hear your show?
You can find me on rumble.com/NickJFuentes and cozy.tv/Nick.
All right. And when you got on the no-fly list, help get your lawyer.
Yes.
And we even help you get an IT guide. We'll help a little bit. The point is, because I believe in free speech, I don't agree with everything you say or do. I mean, I wish, how's he doing? You know, just, I didn't want to do 4 hours on Hitler. I get it was like being contrarian or whatever, but I didn't mean to have that happen. How's he doing?
He's doing well. You know, he got married and he's been enjoying time with his fiance. And I think he's rethinking. The last time I spoke to him, he's considering deferring his presidential plans a little bit. But, you know, the time that I spent with him, I realized he gets it. He gets it way more than people realize.
No, he's definitely a smart guy. I would almost say idiot savant. And I think I'm a little like that. So I mean, I'm putting him down for that. I'm saying I'm kind of like that. You are too. But he just, you know, he's pissed about being messed with. He's challenging the power structure he knows. I'm just saying there's other power structures.
Yeah, well, and I agree. There are multiple power structures. But he, just like with music and fashion, he's got this intuitive sense that he taps into. And he's able to bypass a lot of misconceptions that people have and get straight to it. So I think he's bold, brilliant, you know, and it was an honor of the lifetime to work with him. He's always been a hero of mine, like you. So being here with you and him was amazing.
Well, you're on the War Room today, 3 p.m. Central, with Harrison Smith, because Owen is in solitary confinement right now. We have the top Russian broadcaster to hear what he has to say, unfiltered to our millions of listeners. They're going to call for my arrest for this interview, but I don't care. Because the truth be told, even if I get damned to hell, and as he said when I was on the show a month ago, we are in hell on the verge of nuclear war. So thank you, Nick Fuentes.
Thank you.